Welcome back to our series on Sefer Yirmiyahu. In today's shiur, we study Perek Yud Bet, chapter 12. In the end of the last chapter, Yirmiyahu was complaining to God about his colleagues in his hometown of Anatot who were plotting to kill him. Yirmiyahu was also bothered by the fact that they seem to be so successful and he himself is constantly being attacked. Therefore, Yirmiyahu doesn't understand why is it that God allows them to be so successful. Therefore, in the beginning of chapter 12, he asks the question which there is no easy answer for. Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Aleph. Tzadik ata Adonai. Yirmiyahu asks one of the most famous questions that bother almost every human being. First it begins that God is just. Tzadik ata Adonai. For sure, God is always correct. Nonetheless, Yirmiyahu is going to argue with him. Yirmiyahu wants to talk judgment with God and asks the question, why is it the ways of the wicked are so successful? Shalu kovok debalit. Shalu, like the word shalva, quiet. How come all those who betray, bogdei baget is a play on words, livgod is to betray. So those who betray, they have quiet and peace and are tranquil. Why do they have the quiet and those who are true and just, they suffer? And then he complains to God, netatam gam shorashu. You planted these wicked people and they rooted themselves in the ground. Yehu gam asu feri. He compares them to a tree being planted. God planted those seeds, they rooted themselves, they even grew into a tree that gave fruit. Karova tabafihem. You were very close to them in their mouths, v'rachok mikiliotahem. But very far from their hearts. Lev and kliot usually go together in Tanakh. Technically, the kliot are the kidneys, but often kliot is used as a place where the person's true feelings are. Yirmiyahu was telling God that these false prophets he's complaining about, they talk about God a lot. In their mouths, they talk about God all the time. On the other hand, in their hearts, in their soul, with their real emotions, they're very far from God. V'ata Adonai yidatani. Yirmiyahu tells God that you chose me. You came to know me. The word like ki yidativ by Avram Avinu. God came to know him. God entered a very special relationship with Yirmiyahu. Tir'eni u'bachanta libi itach. You have seen me and you've tested me. You know that my heart is with you. Hatikim ketzon litivcha. V'kdashem liyom hariga. Therefore he asked God to prepare these enemies of his, these false prophets, prepare them for slaughter, set them aside for the day of their death. This is consistent with the end of Perek Yud Aleph, and the end of the last chapter, where Yirmiyahu asked for the sake of the people that God should punish these false prophets as soon as possible, because they're misleading the people, and there's no way the people can return and repent properly as long as these false prophets continue to be successful. Yirmiyahu continues, Ad matai teval ha'aretz ve'esav kol ha'tzadei yivash. How long does the land have to suffer for, and all the green of the field is going to become dry? And what's causing all this punishment? Again, in the analogy, mira'at yoshveva, from the wickedness and the evil behavior of its inhabitants, safta behemot va'of, animals and fowl can no longer be found in the land. There's so much desolation that even the animals have nothing to eat. Ki amru, why did this happen? Because the people were saying, those wicked people, they said about the whole concept of God's providence, lo yiret achritenu. God doesn't see what we're doing, he doesn't know what's going to be, and there's no providence over our deeds. There's no connection between our actions and God's providence over us. Now, God is going to compare Yirmiyahu's fight with his colleagues to the fight with the rest of the people. God's going to tell Yirmiyahu now that you think you have trouble with your own colleagues. That's nothing compared to what the other people in Yerushalayim think about you, especially the leadership. Pasukeh, ki et raglayim ratzta ve'yalucha. You're running with them and they tired you out. Your own colleagues, your equals, you're running against them or with them, and you can't keep up with them. So your own colleagues you can't keep up with. V'ech t'tachare et asusim. A tacharut is a competition. And therefore, God's asking, how can you be in competition now with horses? You can't even keep up in a contest where both sides are walking. And how can you keep in a contest now with something as fast as a horse? U'v'er shalom atabotech. You put your faith in a land that you think is at peace with you. V'ech taseh begon hayarden. Your own colleagues anatot, that's nothing compared to your colleagues in your opposition now, in Yerushalayim, referring to the ministers, who he calls here the Gon HaYarden. Gon HaYarden is the lower part of the Jordan River Valley. If you've ever been to the Bika, to Bikat Yarden, the Jordan River winds around, but the whole area of the Jordan River bed itself, about a half a kilometer so wide, is deep, full of vegetation, full of green, and a lot of wild animals can be found around that vegetation. In other words, it's a very wild and difficult area to trespass, and he's comparing the ministers and the important people of Yerushalayim who don't like what Yirmiyahu is saying, He's comparing them to the Gaon HaYarden. So God's telling Yirmiyahu, you think you have trouble with your own colleagues in Anatot. You have much bigger trouble with the ministers and the important people of Yerushalayim. They want to kill you even more than your colleagues want to kill you. Probably the reason is because his competition with his colleagues, with the Nevi'i Sheker, is a professional one over whose Nevo'ah is correct, who has a proper understanding of what God wants. His political opposition by the ministers is much more political and military, because Yirmiyahu's advice to give in to Bavel, as we'll see as we continue our study of Yirmiyahu, is going to uproot the entire military effort and political effort trying to muster up enough forces to fight Bavel. And if people would listen to Yirmiyahu, the whole fight against Bavel would fail. Therefore, Yirmiyahu is going to have even stiffer opposition with his political opponents. Pasuk Vav, Ki gam achecha ubeit avicha gam heima bagduvach. Your own brethren and your father's house, even they have betrayed you. Gam heima, even they, karu acharecha malei. They also gathered everyone together to attack you. Al tamin bam, don't have any belief in them, don't have any faith in them. Ki dabru elecha tavot. They may say nice things to you, they may pretend to be on your side. God tells Yirmiyahu, don't trust them, they're all out to get you. Therefore, God complains now about why he has to leave his abode, why he has to abandon his mikdash and his land. Pasuk Zayin, Azavti et beiti, I'm leaving my house. Natashti et nachlati, I'm abandoning my inheritance, the land of Israel. Natati tidut nafshi b'chafaviam, I'm giving what used to be my dear ones, the people of Israel, they're going to fall now in the hands of their enemies. Why? Hayta li nachlati chariyei bayar. My own inheritance, the people of my land, are like wild animals in the forest. Na'alai b'kola al-kens natiya. My nation raised up their voice against me. Na'alai b'kola. According to Rashi, it's not just the people raising the voices against God, but the poor people crying out because of the iniquity, against their oppression. It's the cry of the poor and the oppressed that God is hearing that's getting him so angry. And this oppression caused by the majority of the population who are not following Yirmiyahu's rebuke. Al-kain senatia. Therefore, God explains, that's why I hate this nation, that's why I want to kill them. Pasuk Tet, ha'ayit tzavua nachlati li. An ayit is a bird of prey. Tzavua, some commentators understand this as a bloodstained bird. Others understand it as a colored bird. But in either case, it's a bird that stands alone, and all the other birds of prey flock around it to eat it and to devour it. So he's comparing the land of Israel, that's now about to be devoured by its enemies, to a bird being eaten up by a bunch of other birds surrounding its carcass and eating it up. My people, my nachala, my land, is like the stained bird. Ha'ayit saviv aleha. All the other birds of prey are hovering around it and surrounding it. L'chu isfu kochet ha'sadeh. They're calling all the animals of the field to come, hetayu, to come, lochla, come and eat it. They're inviting everyone, come and pick on this enemy. Again, we find a situation where all the nations surrounding Israel are joining together to destroy it. Now, God is going to blame this on the leaders of the people who are misleading them, giving them false hopes, and not guiding them in the proper direction. Ro'im rabim shichatu charmi. Many shepherds have destroyed my vineyard. Again, here the vineyard is another name for the people of his land. Bosasu et chavkati. They totally uprooted my portion. Natnu et chavkat chamdati lemidbar shmama. They've taken my special land, my treasured land, lemidbar shmama. They've turned it into a barren desert. Sama lishmama. They put it to desolation. Avla alai shmema. This desolation of the land is mourning in front of me. Nishama kol haaretz. The whole land lies now in waste. Ki ein ish sam aliv. What's causing this terrible punishment to happen? Because no one's paying attention. No one's heeding the warning of the Navi. Al kol shvayim bamidbar. Up on all the high places in the desert. Bo shodidim. The robbers have come from all these places. Ki cherev l'adonai ochla. Mikzei eretz v'kzei haaretz. Ein shalom l'cho basar. Because the sword of God is eating everything up. From one end of the land to the other end of the land. Ein shalom l'cho basar. There's no peace for anyone. Zaru chitim v'kotzim katsaru. They planted wheat. Anyone who remembers the beginning of chapter 4 in Yirmiyahu knows exactly what the Navi is referring to. When the Tshuva movement began, Yirmiyahu told them in the beginning of chapter 4, Niru lechem nir v'atizro kotzim. Plow your field better and better, and don't start planting before you plow the field properly. Comparing the shallow nature of the repentance to a person who doesn't plow the field before planting the seeds. And when someone does that, the only thing he can harvest will be thorns. And that's exactly what happened. You planted wheat, but you ended up with thorns. Nachlu lo yo'ilu. Everyone became sick. Miloshon choli. People became sick. The land became sick. Nothing helped. Uvoshu mitzvotechem. You became embarrassed from your produce because it was not successful. Mechron af Adonai. And this was all because of the anger of God, because of your deeds. Komar Adonai, Pasuk Yedalad, verse 14. This is the word of God. Al kol shechinei haroim, hanogim benachala, asher inchalti et ami et Yisrael, hineni notsham miad matam, vet beit Yudea tosh mitocham. In these last lines of the chapter, God's calling upon all the neighbors, here he calls them the evil neighbors of Israel, who are bordering on his nachala, most likely will be Ammon and Moab and Sidon, all the neighbors of Israel around it. Hineni notsham miad matam. He's informing them, just like he's uprooting his own people, they'll be uprooted as well. Hineni notsham miad matam. I'm going to uproot them from their land, that Beit Yudea tosh mitocham. And also the house of Yudah, I'm going to uproot. Vayachrei notshi otam. After I abandon them and exile them, ashuv richamtim. I'm going to return and have mercy upon them. Vashivotim ish lenachlato v'ish l'artzo. And all these nations that surround Israel, just like the people of Yehudah, they too, Ammon and Moab and Sidon, they also will return to their land. When they return, what will be their fate? Pasuk Tet Zayin, verse 16. Vayayim lamod yimudu et achei ami lishaveh bishmi chai Adonai. If they indeed learn properly the way of my people, to swear properly in the name of God, kasher libdu et ami lishaveh babao, just like they taught my people the wrong way, to swear in the name of the Baal God, just like their influence caused my people to sin and not follow God properly, if now they learn properly from my people, and now if they will learn from Israel how to properly swear in the name of God, then v'nivnu b'tochami, then they can be built among my people. Rashi understands that we're talking about actual conversion of Gerut. Other commentators understand it just in a general sense of returning to God. V'imlo yishmo, but if they don't listen, if they don't follow God properly when they return, then when that nation returns, it will be abandoned once again and destroyed. Meaning God will give these nations one more chance, but if they don't take that chance, they too will meet destruction for a final time. So we see from here yet another prophecy of doom and destruction. And again, God gives an explanation. Why is it that he's bringing such a terrible punishment upon his nation? The interesting question, which remains till the end of the parak, is we never had an answer for the opening question. We never received an answer in this parak. Why is it that the ways of the wicked seem to be successful? It seems like God's saying in this parak that it may appear to be successful for a very short time, for several years, for a decade or so, but ultimately all these people will meet the punishment. So over a certain course of time, the judgment of God will be understood much better, and ultimately God will even have mercy and give the people another chance to return. It's difficult to see the justice of God in any specific moment, in a certain snapshot, but over a long course of time, it will be easier to see the hand of God behind the events and the just manner of his punishment. In our next year, we'll continue this topic, and Yirmiyahu will give a beautiful analogy about clothing, which will help us understand the very purpose of why God chose his people.